The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and I forgot to move my microphone before I started talking, and that's why you're hearing all those weird noises. You'd think I would have this down pat after however many decades it's been, but now we're good. This is Real Life Real Estate Investing, and of course, as every week, we're bringing you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. The Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati has its Cincinnati chapter meeting tomorrow evening. So if you can actually hear me on the radio, if my voice is coming out of your car dashboard or out of an actual device on your desk, there's no reason you can't be there, and there's some really good reasons that you should be there. The main meeting at 7:30 is about how to estimate local rehab costs in 2024, which, guess what, are different than they were in 2020 and 2022. Going to get a whole list of all the major things that one usually does to rehab properties and even a price list cheat sheet if you show up to the meeting. The early meeting at 6 o'clock is a hands-on workshop about getting what you need in your real estate business from other investors, like other investors right there in that room, whether you're looking for money, help with deals themselves, pieces of deals, hands-on experience. There's ways to trade with other humans to get that stuff without actual money. So go to CincinnatiREIA.com. That's CincinnatiREIA.com, and grab your seat at that live event in Westchester tomorrow night. If you're sitting there in Columbus going, I don't want to drive all the way to Cincinnati, join exactly the same meeting next Tuesday. But that is at CoreeRocks.com, CoreeRocks.com. So my guest today, because it's always so much easier to get somebody to come and be a guest on your radio show when they are doing a big talk the next day, is Mr. Jerry Fink, who is a frequent guest here on Real Life Real Estate, and we'll be talking about pricing out your rehab work tomorrow night. What, you thought it was me? Please. When I need to price out rehab work, I call Jerry.
Yep.
And we're going to talk today about something a little more general. Because for all the years that he and I have been involved with Cincinnati REIA, OREIA, other real estate investor associations around the country, we have seen the exact same thing. It doesn't matter what the market's like. The exact same thing repeating itself over and over and over again. And that is people getting really excited about doing a rehab deal. Like, you know, I love it. I love the idea of turning an old house into a new house. I went to YouTube University, so I know how to do it. And then ending up in a terrible situation.
I saw him do it on HGTV in half an hour.
That's right. I've been watching those, you know, rehab shows for years. I know I can do it. Guys, rehabbing and reselling properties is the fastest way to make big chunks of money in real estate, no question about it. It is also by far the easiest way to lose money in real estate. Like, I don't see people like losing money on wholesale deals. And if you if you mess up the numbers on a rental, easy solution. Yeah, just hold on to it.
Yep.
For in 10 years, you'll be like, I'm really glad I bought that property.
I was so smart.
Exactly. but with rehabs, because of the nature of the financing that you're getting, right? You only get it if you're getting hard money. You're only getting it for 6 months to a year because of the fact that how you buy it, how you estimate the repair costs, how you do the repairs, how you do the financing, all leads into, do I get a check at the end or am I bringing a check at the end to closing? We thought we would talk about the steps that you must follow to do a successful rehab. I'm just going to lay them out for you. And Jerry, being a recovering CPA, he is the most nailed down guy I know in terms of, like, if he's going to do a rehab, it, like, he's got it all on paper and Excel spreadsheets, and these are the steps that have to be taken. And if one of the steps fails, like, okay, I did the numbers and they don't work, the deal's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, if you can, get out a notebook or take some notes on your phone. If you're driving in your car, I guess you can listen to the show again when it shows up at reallifereallestate.com toward the end of the week. But this is going to be like the most simple, like, roadmap to doing a successful rehab that we can possibly do. So, Jerry, step one. I don't own a rehab yet, but I really want to do one.
Okay. So obviously it's the marketing and so forth on the front that you have to find a suspect to begin with. Then, really the next important thing is to go out and do what I call the initial walkthrough. And that's where you go out and use some sort of a checklist. You've seen mine. It's mm-hmm. 2-page, pretty much covers anything that can be wrong in the house. Go through and really understand what the issues are with that particular house. You know, how old is the furnace? Does it, you know, is it rusty inside? Does it need to be cleaned or does it need to be replaced, et cetera, et cetera? So you go through and you do a pretty thorough first walkthrough. And from that, you estimate how much is it going to cost to put this back in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the big things that a lot of people forget to do, you know, they might know that it needs the roof. They know it needs the furnace. They know it needs the windows, et cetera, et cetera. They get that piece figured out. But they forget this little thing called miscellaneous, which is the kind of the gotcha factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we use factors for that, you know, kind of depending on how old is the house, how rough is it, you know.
There stuff you can't see because it's a hoarder house?
A hoarder house, and the other one is the 1890s Victorian, right, mm-hmm. that's been empty for 10 years.
Oh, my.
Right? That's a whole different animal than a 1992 bi-level.
Yes,
right?
It's got people issue. Living in it who can tell you, oh, that uh-huh. drain is slow, oh, uh-huh. that light sparks when yeah. I turn on the switch.
Right. So, you know, you really, really, really do have to get a good handle on what is it going to cost mm-hmm. to fix it.
So it is not the right way to think to say they were asking $200 and I got it for $180 and thus it is a good deal. Or my realtor said it was a good deal.
My realtor said, yes. Yeah, for the realtor, it was a great deal. They got a commission.
Well, and most agents are not trained in...
They are not.
What do repairs cost? What repairs would be appropriate? Because mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, if you're rehabbing a... I'm about to say something that's going to make the California folks, unless they live in the valley there, fall off their chairs.
Right.
If you're rehabbing $150,000... basic level starter right.
that's,
home. That,
that's not just the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're probably, it's, yeah, that's right. A whole house could be worth $150,000
yeah.
here in
yeah.
Cincinnati, although they're few and far between. You're talking about a
less and less
very yeah. starter yeah. home kind of neighborhood at that
yeah.
point. You're probably not going to, no matter how much you would love it, think about things like opening up walls and moving ducts so that you can get a bigger kitchen and an open floor plan. It's just, it won't fit the budget.
No, it absolutely will not. And, you know, you're kind of skipping way ahead. But the other thing you have to look at is your selling costs at that point. If there's only a $20,000 spread on a $200,000 house, mm-hmm. you're losing money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't do a thing to it, if you just turn around and sell it, you're losing money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about like how to do these repair estimates. We're going to answer a question in the inbox that I knew we were going to get, which is, why don't I just take my contractor with me every time I go look at a house I want to make an offer on? And we're also going to take your questions at 877-772-9658. You can give us a call during the live part of the live show here. If you're listening to it on the podcast, don't call that number. We're not here. 877-772-9658, or send your questions to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, talking today to Jerry Fink about the steps to doing a successful, i.e. profitable and does not drive you up a wall, rehab. It just seems like we need to circle back around to this quite a bit, because there's always the next generation of excited new rehabbers. And heck, I know some rehabbers who do two or three properties a year that could probably stand to stay tuned here, because they've made money in the last few years. But a lot of times that's been because the value of the property went up in the 6 months it took them to finish it. And those times, they look like they're changing.
I think they're waning. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
You cannot depend on the idea that the property is going to be worth a whole bunch more just because the whole market has gone up over the course of 6 months.
That's called speculation, and that's not a good idea.
Yes, it is. And you were fine speculating in 2020, 2021, 2022. It's just the throughout the country, we're seeing values are going up, but they're
flattening,
not
flattening. Yeah, they're more not, days on the market.
More days on market. Right. Yep. So, yeah, if you've got friends that are like, oh, it's no problem, it doesn't matter what you spend, people will pay whatever for a property. Not really true anymore.
Right.
So the first step that we were going through before was basically, you got to buy the property at the right price.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what that right price is until you have run comps, so you know what really similar properties have sold for. You have inspected the property, like you said, and oh my gosh, that tip about take a form with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
to this
valuable.
Day, I've looked at thousands of houses at this point, and still to this day, every time I go look at a house, I take that form with me. I make sure I have something on every line. You know, it doesn't have a fourth bedroom. Okay, dash. You know, there is no fourth bedroom, but whatever it is, because you get back to the office, and it's like, what was that second bathroom like? You will not remember.
Last week, I literally looked at four houses in one day. And I have sheets in my car on every single one of them, because not only would I have conflated them, was that the one that had the third bedroom that was really a dining room or not? But the other thing is, in both houses, the owner was there. And one guy owned three houses and the other one was a single. And they talk to me the whole time. And it's so easy to get distracted and forget to open that door and even see that second bathroom when you're having a nice conversation with your seller. So repair estimates, because that goes into your, what am I going to pay?
Right.
And, of course, you want to choose a marketable property. You don't want
there's a whole set of things around that, you know, obsolete floor plans and, you know, extra busy streets. It's, you know, there's a whole set of things that you look at from that perspective as well.
And that is also pulling back in. We've had 3 or 4 years where you could pretty much sell a house on a busy street with, I mean, it was worth a little less,
right?
But you could absolutely sell it. But that's because there was no inventory, and as inventory increases, home buyers will start pulling away from the street where they're going to hear traffic noise all day and all night long. So at what price do you really want to buy that property? Let's assume we've got our comps. We're real convinced the house is worth $300,000. We've done our repair estimates and our fudge factor, and this is just the initial walkthrough. And we're pretty convinced that we can get it into really nice marketable shape for
$50,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depending on how granular you want to get with the formula, you basically take your $300,000 ARV, multiply that by usually 0.7, you know.
That's not what it's been lately. Hotter market,
yeah, 7.5 or 8, yeah. You know, a slower market, you can go down even lower.
6.5, yeah, 0.65.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you subtract your real rehab costs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get what's called the maximum allowable offer.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get to that, so doing the math here in my head, that would be 160, I think, if I'd doing it right in my head.
300 times 0.7 is 210 minus 50 is 160. Yeah, so, we all get really good at multiplying by things by 0.7 in the real estate business.
Yeah. So 160 would be my maximum allowable offer. I would go in somewhat lower than that, kind of depending on, you know, how long has it been on the market, all those kind of things. But you want to go in somewhere a little bit below the 160 so that you have a little bit of wiggle room to come up to the 160. Now, where the first place that people get in trouble is they say, oh, they need 175. I can figure out how to squeeze $15,000 out of that $50,000 rehab budget. No, you can't.
Which means you're not going to have a house worth $300
exactly.
when it's finished. You're gonna not put in the new furnace and central air, and you're gonna not put in the windows, and in order to sell for $300, it needed those things.
Or just cheaper fans, you know, all that kind of stuff. The little things that people notice when they go through the house that aren't that much more to put good ones in, but because you needed to save that $15,000, you know, went to the closeouts and got all mismatched stuff, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we've seen it all, you know. So
question from Kevin. He says, why would I not just bring my contractor with me to walk the property?
And actually, Kevin, that is a very, very valid thing to do early on. All right. Eventually, I want you to get to the point where you know what the rehab costs are, and a good, honest, you know, stand-up contractor is a great place to learn from.
But they better be a general contractor, because
right.
they're going to be quoting you stuff that they don't know how to do otherwise.
Right, right. So, yeah, you've got to, you know, kind of vet them as well. But the other things you want to do is, you know, like come tomorrow night or Tuesday night in Columbus and start learning for yourself, because the other side of that is when you start talking to a contractor and you and he are very different on your price, it could be legitimate, you know. He could say, did you notice that XYZ? And you say, no, I missed that. Okay, well, that's the $4,000 difference, blah, 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 whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, my experience with contractors is in this stage where I might have to look at 15 or 20 houses before I get to the
one. Right, they're not going to want to do that many. Right.
Because the offers are normally coming in quite a bit lower than asking price, and I'm
right.
looking for that really motivated seller who's like, hey, if you can close in a week and a half, I'll do it.
Right.
And the contractors, I mean, they're very busy
right
now.
So if you are going to use that contractor earlier on, go through those 15 and get down to the point where you have something that might actually turn into a deal. Take the contractor with you to reinforce what you think or to educate you as part of that process. But yeah, you can't drag them around to 15 houses and then not give them the work.
Yeah.
Especially.
Well, because you didn't buy any of the houses. Of course,
right.
of course they're not getting the work.
And I've actually seen people abuse contractors where they'll give the job to somebody else.
Ooh,
after they've done
ouch.
That. And you know, that's slitting your throat. You
ouch.
Know?
Yeah. No, I think a level of knowledge here by the investor is super important, because you and I have had conversations about the contractors that, like, they blow your head off on drywall.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be $200 a board to hang and tape that drywall. What?
Right.
Jerry told me
right. yeah.
that it should
40.
Be a lot, yeah. it should be a lot less than that. And they say, well, I'm not good at it, so it takes me longer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's like they're, It's important they have the right kind of contractor.
The right contractors, because, you know, like if you have a big job, especially for drywall, go hire the guys who do it every day. I had a house a few years ago. They hung 180 board. That's a three-story house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They hung it and taped it in one day.
Wow. So there were a bunch of them, and they had the little stilts.
Yeah, but there were only five of them, I think. And they had it taped in the first day. The second day, they were there for a couple of hours to do the second tape coat.
Mm-hmm.
And by the third day, it was ready for paint.
Specialists, yes.
They are good. Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go to step two, and then we'll go to Randy, who's on line one from California. You actually do something here that I think most rehabbers wait until after they have closed to do, which is once the offer is accepted, you go back to the property, mm-hmm. and you do a way more detailed look at it to the point where you've got, like, here's how many light switch covers I'm going to need. Mm-hmm. Here's how many... And the big stuff, too, is as well, and that, of course, is called a statement of work. Why do you do that so early on?
Okay. You said something very important there. Once I have the contract accepted, all right, I'm not going to do this, you know, for every house I go look at. So let's put this in context real quick. The first time when we did the initial walkthrough, I literally am only there for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that's really hard for people to understand, but when you've looked at hundreds and then thousands of houses, you and I can go through a house in 15, 20 minutes and we're within a couple thousand bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, we're, you know, good to go. Now, once I get it accepted, I want to go ahead and do my thorough walkthrough, which takes me about 3 hours to go through. It's a 32-page checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally is down to how many single pole white light switch covers do I need?
And how many double pole light switch covers?
Am I doing the cabinets? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it literally goes through everything inside and outside of the house. Now, why do I do that? That is so that I can put this statement of work together and go out and get quotes, et cetera, before I actually close. I am ready then on the day of closing. Literally, the next day, the demo crew is there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because I have all this stuff in place before.
And that means that you're not calling the demo crew the day you close and saying, when can you guys get
exactly.
over here? And also, I mean, some of these guys are really hard to schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the statement of work also kind of tells you the order in which you need to do things.
There's a secondary piece to that, but yes, part of the statement of work and then also the contracting agreement is you have to understand that you fit in here because right behind you is another trade. You need to be done by next Wednesday because on Thursday the drywaller is going to be here or whatever it might be.
The electrician has to be done on Wednesday because
mm-hmm.
the drywaller is going to start on Thursday.
Right.
So that statement of work, I know that is a huge part of like your – It's a pain in the butt, man. You're right. It's 3 hours and then transferring it to the sheet and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it does a lot. It helps you schedule the contractors out in advance. It helps you see and refine the full budget.
The full budget, right. And I actually use it then on the back end. That's how they get paid, right? They quoted, you know, $3,200 for this particular line item. Is it done? Okay.
Then here's $3,200.
Right. Not just because it's Friday. That does not come into play in my world,
mm-hmm.
right? So that document has multiple purposes through the course of the
So it
project.
Feeds into the contract that you're doing with the contractors,
yes.
including timelines with the contractors.
Yes.
It feeds into you being able to watch the budget every week and say,
mm-hmm.
okay, we're good, or gosh,
right.
we went over on that. We got to figure out. Is mm-hmm. that okay, or do we need to pull something back a little bit?
Well, and the other thing that you touched on there is the concept of change orders, right? You don't go in, the contractor does not go in and just do things willy-nilly. It's before they are authorized for that extra $500 or whatever it might be. He and I have to have a conversation and agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it changes the dollar amount, it changes the dates, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's all part of it.
And most just so folks know, most renovators who have been doing this a while and do it a lot, they don't actually use a general contractor. They are the general contractor. They use specialty. I've got my electrician. I've got my mm-hmm. plumber. I've got my roofer. I've got my backup roofer. I've got my
mm-hmm.
I've got my guy who can hang cabinets and cut granite and my mm-hmm. tiler and all those sorts of things. So Part of the reason they do that is it's way cheaper. Part to just hire the subs rather than pay a general contractor. Part of it is you know the quality of the person you're getting.
Right.
Because the general contractor is just going to, you know, they bring in their own people. And part of it is, you know, just control. Just control of the control of the job and the timelines.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Randy on Line 1 in California. We'll also talk to you about your rehab questions at 877-772-9658 or just send an email, vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Jerry Fink, and we're kind of like just giving you the steps of doing a successful rehab because, I don't know, people always, I thought it was easier than it turned out to be the first ones I did. And being more organized and more systematic about what you're doing just gets you a better result.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to Randy, who's been waiting on line one for a long time. Randy, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thanks, Vina. Good to hear your voice. So, Vina, you must be clairvoyant or have a lot of ESP, because the question I was going to ask had to do with how detailed Jerry gets walkthroughs.
Okay, so it has been described as bordering on OCD, but the thing is, he's got these 32 pages kind of all worked out so that he can. The first thing is literally just walking through and just checking off, no, I don't need any of this, or yes, I need 8 of these. And then he's got it on an Excel spreadsheet, and then he also has all of the items that he typically uses. SKU numbers at the two big,
big box stores.
Big box stores. And so it somewhat auto generates after that first look at the property. But yeah, it's impressive. I've had him make some when I was still willing to do rehabs. I had him make some of those for me, and I was expecting like 8 lines. Here's what you need. Here's what it's going to cost. And I was like, this
page after page.
This spreadsheet never ends. but I mean, that's so much better than figuring out later that you went over budget by thousands of dollars because you forgot about all that, you know, the light fixture that only costs $76.
But
you needed
seven
of them, and then there were, you know, all the, and the other thing this does a really good job of is letting you order the materials to be on site when the contractors start, because nothing will slow you down like having your contractors running out to get something that's not there every 20 minutes.
Well, one of the local guys here who is actually a property manager, talked to him a couple years ago about this concept, and he had a project that he had just finished, and I said, so how many big box store receipts do you have? And he had 66 receipts. Now, remember, it takes two guys to go to the store, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they have to get lunch while they're out, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? How many man weeks of productivity did you lose by just them going shopping, right? Now, by what we do, where we actually create the purchase orders and have them delivered, right? So the contractor isn't going to the store every day, because 80 to 90% of everything that they need is being delivered. And I even have it set up that it can come in waves, right? So the stuff you need earlier in the project and a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to have to go pick up the little stuff that just got overlooked or whatever. But, you know, if you get 80% on one cut, that's pretty darn good.
And the other nice thing is any of the big box stores, if you're making a big order all at once, will deliver for free.
They deliver for free. They also, there's pricing, volume pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's typically around 10 to 12% that you can get off on, you know, a larger order like that. So especially when you're doing, you know, there was a time when I was doing a lot of
all at once,
a lot all at the same time. When you start talking about 10 to 12% savings on materials. That's big dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So see how all of this fits together, Randy? It's like, I need to do this to negotiate with my contractors. I need to do this to schedule my contractors. I need to do this because it'll save me money on my materials. I need to, like,
manage the contractors, which is a huge part of it, right?
Yeah. I just did a remodel on a mobile home, and, you know, I did my initial walkthrough, then took a look. But then I found out after I started looking around, and the work had already commenced, that there were still a lot of little things that I missed. So I had to go back and then renegotiate those. So it did take extra time, and that was kind of my lesson learned. That's why I was asking about your detail, because had I made a much more detailed list, I could have done it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would have saved that much money, because I usually, you know, I'm getting bids, multiple bids. But
But think about this. If you could have done it quicker, you know, the other huge cost is holding costs, right?
It's holding costs,
So, you know, when I'm running full speed, I can do, you know, about $10,000 to $12,000 a week in work. So, you know, I can do a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 rehab, turn the whole house around in 60 days,
and not make that extra hard money payment, and not make the extra tax payment, and not make the extra utility payment.
Right. It's huge.
So, yeah, Randy, appreciate your call. And by the way, if you want to get a look at Jerry's detailed statement of work and how to put it together, he's actually teaching an online class on August the 10th, Saturday. Right. It's 9 to 3.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. Yeah, sorry, Randy. I meant to say it's 6 a.m. to noon, your time. And he actually went out and filmed a property the other day.
Right.
And it's like you are kind of doing the statement of work based on the property that you're seeing on the screen. And he's going to go through the whole process and then how to use it. And it's going to be really cool. He did this a couple of years ago, and I've had a number of people say, I got my start because of that class, because I understood it. So CincinnatiRIA.com is where you would go to register.
No, we'll look that up.
All right.
You should.
And thank you both.
If you can't drag yourself out of bed at 6 a.m., the whole thing will be recorded, and you'll get the recordings if you register.
There are times I can and times I don't. I don't know how much wine I had the night before.
All right, don't drink on the ninth.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Okay, take care, Bolden.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Randy. Okay, so we have bought the property. We've done our statement of work. Financing is a thing that it's number three on the list, but really how I'm going to finance it sort of almost needs to be a pre-step off to the side here, thinking about
Where am I going to get the money?
Where am I going to get the money? What kind of money am I going to get? Is it going to be hard money? Is it going to be a private loan? Is it going to be owner financing? In which case, where am I going to get the money for the rehab?
Right.
Because the hard money loan and the private loan will usually include money for rehab, but owner financing
usually doesn't.
And you might have several of these tools in your toolbox, ladies and gentlemen. You might be, I'll get the money wherever it makes sense for me to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, let me remind you that one of the big themes of the National Real Estate Summit this year is getting money. We've got like six different sessions on various ways to finance deals, hard money loans, yes, private, how to get private money, owner financing, also looking at other people's retirement plans as a way. And actually, one of our sponsors is giving a talk, and I know this is going to tickle you, Jerry, about how infinite banking can actually be a way for you to finance.
I actually understand exactly where you're going.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And we do still have some of those ticket packages left for WMKV listeners. I have no idea how many. I did not ask Dave before I walked in here. So,
seven.
You're making that number up. Aria,
he pulled that one out of there.
Aria donated 20 sets of tickets and, or 30 sets of tickets. And I know we were like 12 of them were gone last week. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's 15 left. The thing is, if you're going to come to the summit, which you are, because it's the biggest and bestest real estate event in the country, has been for years and years and years. It's $197 to get a ticket, and you get a free VIP pass, which is worth another $127, and you get a free course on how to negotiate with sellers. So nobody's getting offered this deal except real-life real estate listeners. The way you would grab a ticket or two tickets, you can get two tickets for $297, is wmkvfm.org, and you can scroll down to the bottom of that screen, and you'll see pledge to WMKV. So the bill will be from WMKV because you're actually giving money to public radio and also getting tickets to the summit, which is awesome. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, we will talk about the next three steps, hiring the right contractors, managing the job, and getting it sold right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, talking today to Jerry Fink about the right process for planning and executing a rehab. And some of you have already turned off the radio because you're like, no, that's too complicated. I'm just going to get in there and get my hands dirty and have fun and it'll be fine. How many times have you heard this story, Jerry? Well, I hired this contractor and I gave him $20,000 to start the job. And then I never saw him again.
Right.
And sometimes that's even preceded by he came highly recommended.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about hiring the right contractors.
Well, you mentioned something that should be high on the list, which is recommendations. So you're getting referrals from other rehabbers. Okay, and that's one of the great things about our communities in both Cincinnati and Columbus is we're willing to share, right? Who, what roofer do you use, blah, 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 blah. So getting the referrals is great. Then you want to do a little bit of due diligence yourself, right? And one of the things I like to ask a contractor is, I want you to give me three people you've worked for. I want two of them that thought you did a good job. I want one of them that you had an issue with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what I want to see is how did they resolve the issue,
mm-hmm.
right? Because let's face it, there are going to be disagreements, you know, misunderstandings, blah, 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 blah. But how did that contractor handle, you know, a situation that didn't go exactly right? That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through and you basically vet these people the best that you can. Are you ever going to get them 100%? No. But you go through, you vet them. And then the next phase of that is once we've put the statement of work together, it gets submitted to, you know, the various trades. And I try, and this is a hard thing to do, I try to get three bids on, you know, at least all the major stuff. It's hard to get these days one person to reply, let alone three.
Okay, Jerry, you don't get three bids. You got three bids back when you were starting. Today, you just have this set of trusted people.
Mostly. Here's an interesting thing, and if there are contractors listening, I'm not sure they're going to appreciate this. We have a running joke that contractors are good for 1.5 projects. Okay, and what that means is you always have to have that backup. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I try to have, you know, the Rolodex of three deep, you know, in any trade. So, you know, Vina isn't available this week, so I go to Joe, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, blah, 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 whatever that might be. But, as much as possible, you try to get at least every once in a while, you want to go out at least for a second bid, you know, to basically keep them honest.
Right.
So you go through, you figure out, okay, I'm going to have these people do each of these things based on that statement of work that we put together. And literally I have them quote that by line item, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, replace the roof. That has a specific line item. You know, rough plumbing
And just so you know, folks, his line item does not say replace the roof.
Right.
It says replace the roof brand of three tab.
Architectural shingles, yes.
In this color.
right. It is deeper than that. But the point here is that, you know, by the time you're done, the statement of work is maybe 75 lines long of things that need to be done. And they are literally giving me a price for each line. And like I mentioned earlier, when it gets to that point of payroll, okay, it's the third weekend. They got, you know, line 17 is done. It's got $450 price on it. That week's payroll, you know, they get credit for that $450. So that's kind of how all that plays out. The other thing is that the, we kind of touched on it, the statement of work becomes a an addendum to the actual contracting agreement. So the contracting agreement has the price, it has the dates, it has the penalties for not meeting those dates, and then all the other, you know, kind of legalese that, that needs to be in a contract. But I try, the thing that, that I always try to do is make sure that we have that agreement before anybody actually starts work, because it's a lot easier to negotiate up front than it is afterwards. So it's just really important to me. You know, Vina talked about all the systems and everything. I have really tried to make this as airtight as it can be, you know, front to back.
And that's also that negotiating process. I think people are probably hearing, oh, he's trying to beat him down to the lowest possible price, and that's not it. Part of it is, I mean, you pay people
fairly.
And sometimes they bring valuable stuff during this negotiation process and say, and maybe this doesn't surprise you when this happens, but it always surprises me because I don't do that many rehabs. I say, I want LVT on this floor. And they say, well, let me tell you about a new product that I've been using in a couple of houses, and here's what it looks like, and it's great, and it's, like, better.
And same cost,
or you know, but, maybe it's a couple bucks more, but it's just like put so much more of a nice look to it, or maybe it's a few dollars less. You know, maybe they say it costs more, but we can install it in one day instead of 3 days, right?
One of the best examples I have of that is a contractor I had years ago, really, really, really good contractor. And we were going through the house, you know, kind of after this initial cut, and we were walking through it, and he says, did you realize that we could take this corner and put a second bathroom in, blah, 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 it'll cost this, and it would, and he knew this, it would raise the value of the house by
twice what it's going to cost you to do it.
Two to two and a half times is what I try to do there. So the increase in value, right, was double what it would cost me to do it. And in that particular house, the thing was that took it from a 4.1 to a 4.2, which is a huge, huge selling point. So, yes, some of these contractors can be very, very valuable.
Now, fifth step, manage the rehab right. Because I think the way a lot of people seem to handle this is they check in with their contractors by phone a couple of times a week and say how much longer. And the answer is always 2 weeks. It's always two weeks more. What does manage it right really mean?
Okay. I am on site at least twice a week, unannounced. And that is a huge, huge part of it. Because if I show up on site and there's nobody there, that's a real problem. And actually I can, you know, see for myself where they stand. And it also gives them the opportunity to say, let me show you something, blah, blah, blah. What do you want us to do here? You know, that sort of thing. The other side of it is, along with what line item got finished, pictures. Okay, so that I can actually document, you know, that this is this week's payroll along with the pictures. So that's another piece of that puzzle.
If you want a really passive investment, a rehab is probably not it.
Not it, no.
Like if you can't or don't know how to, like, walk into a rehab that's going on and be able to see if things are working the way they should, it's going to get run away with. Like, it's going to take a lot longer than you think it is. It might go over budget. And listen, guys, I will say again, this is one of the things we're going to talk about at Cincinnati REIA meeting tomorrow night. If you're going, well, I'm hopeless. Like, how would I know if they were doing it right? That's when you get a partner who's done this many times and give them a piece of the deal, because what you learn from somebody who's done this a lot, it's incredible. It's so much better a lesson than anything you can learn in a classroom. So our last step is sell it right, Jerry. We've only got 1 minute, so I'm gonna boil it down to this. hire an agent or sell it for sale by owner?
Yes. what I found to be very effective is when it's getting close to done, if the local community will allow me to do this, and I've had a problem with this, there's a banner that goes on the house, right, that says, coming soon, phone number, blah, blah, blah. I probably sold 20% or so of my houses before they were even done. Okay. Then I will go ahead and try for sale by owner for about 2 weeks. If I don't have a good solid, you know, prospect at that point, then I do work with specific agents. And, you know, I have certain ones in various parts of town who kind of specialize in that
they
area.
They know that market. They're not going to overprice it and they're not going to underprice
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And they're good people. You know, that's the other side of it. You know, mm-hmm. somebody that I can work with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are out of time. Hope you guys took notes on those steps because although we had covered them quickly, they are all super important. If you want to hear in more detail tomorrow night at the Cincinnati RIA meeting here in Cincinnati, cincinnatiria.com. Tuesday night at the CoRE Columbus chapter meeting, CoReRocks.com, and August the 10th online, Jerry's going to teach how to do a statement of work and give you his spreadsheet that he uses. That's also at CincinnatiRIA.com. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.